Amen. Well, how many of you ever met somebody that was incredibly generous? Two of you. Good. I hope the rest of it works out before too long and you get that a privilege. Well, over the next, five, 6 weeks, we're going to be taking a journey and talking about extravagant generosity, the heart of living. Extravagant generosity, the heart of living. Now, by looking at the title of the messages for the next 6 weeks in our current series, what do you think I'm going to talk about? Good job. Giving is an act of worship. Generosity. Somebody said money. Well, I don't want to disappoint those of you who said money, so I will mention that as we go through it. But what I want to talk to us about is developing a life of generosity, a spirit of generosity that comes from deep within our heart and is expressed in our life in the different areas of time, treasure, and talent. And by the way, you're all very talented this morning. In fact, we should get some of you up here to sing. What do you think? Yeah, maybe next week. I love the excitement, though. You see, extravagant generosity, just so I can set the record straight, this extravagant generosity that we're talking about is not about just money. Whenever the pastor or the church begins to talk about money, and there's so many people that, well, I'm not going to go to church because all they want to do is they want my money. I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that I don't want a dime of anything you have in your pocket. Aren't you glad? In fact, I could ask all of you to bring your wallets to me and you'd have the same amount of money in when you leave as you did when you got here. Because that's not what I'm talking about. What I want to do is, like I said, is get to the heart. Okay? Yes, we talk about giving, and it's not just about this series about supporting the church, though that's important. It's about getting the kingdom work done, getting the mission accomplished that God has given to us as the body of Christ. Now, money is a factor, but extravagant generosity involves so much more of your life than just your checkbook. It involves your behavior, how you use the resources that you have of the time, treasure, and talents that you'll hear many times over these next few weeks. And really, what we're talking about in extravagant generosity is a reflection of what we believe about God. That my generosity level in my life really expresses what I really believe about God and His call into my life. In the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I just because I didn't want to disappoint you without some good facts about money. But in the synoptic gospels, one out of every six verses in the synoptic gospels is about money. No, I didn't say go to verse 1 and then go to verse 7 and then go. Every six verses, it averages out about money. And how many parables did Jesus tell? Anybody tell me that? How many parables in the Bible? Good. In the New Testament, Jesus told about 29 parables. Out of the 29 parables, 16 of them were about the person in the parable and their resources, their money and their talents. Interesting, isn't it? Augustine said it this way, and I quote, "Where your pleasure is, there's your treasure. Where your pleasure is, there's your treasure. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. Where your heart is, there is your happiness." Now, I just want to, you don't have to stand yet, but I want to take you to one of Jesus' greatest remarks when it came to this idea of blessing and generosity in our life. It's found in the book of Acts. And is found in chapter 20, verse 35. And the last part of the verse simply says, "You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus." You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Now that puts some importance on that statement that's getting ready to follow. It is more blessed to give than to receive. How many of you ever heard that one before? That's not a new statement. In fact, my parents used to tell me that every Christmas. Or birthday. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't mind getting, you know. I mean, it feels good. But it is. Jesus said it's more blessed. It brings more joy. It brings more happiness. It brings more fulfillment to give than it does to receive. Keep the words of Jesus in mind. Now, we just ended a series of messages where we looked at a few of the Beatitudes there in the Sermon on the Mount. And we talked about this word blessed or blessed. And in the Greek, it's pronounced Makarios or Makarios, however you want to say it. If you're from Oklahoma, it's one way. If you're not, it's from another. Anybody here from Oklahoma? Amen. All right. Well, it means God bless them. It means happy. All right. It means happy. Jesus was saying that we would be happier when he in Acts there, with the words of Jesus, we would be happier by giving than we do receiving. Now, we're speaking of a joy filled life. That's what we're talking about. A joy-filled life. And remember, the blessed life, it's not about stuff. I love the bumper sticker that he who dies with the most toys still dies. You can't take it with you. It all stays. In fact, the only things that we can take with us are those things that we've invested for the kingdom of God. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. The blessed life is not about stuff. It's not about give to get. And understand that over these weeks together, we are surrounded in our culture today, especially within the church, that it's all about, well, if you give, you're going to get back. Well, you don't find that monetarily in Scripture. Now, God blesses us when we give, but it's not, I don't give to get. In fact, when I was a little kid, we used to have Wednesday night testimony time. And they would give testimony, and there was somebody who would give testimony. Well, I gave God $50, and later that week I got $100 back. Has any of that happened to you, any of you? It has to be. Well, that motivated me as a young child to start giving to God, but I never got anything back. Because why? It's not to give to get. It's about to give to simply give. And I think, and I might be wrong, and hopefully it's not too heretical. But I think when we develop this attitude of generosity, we are more like God than any other time. When I allow God to develop this generosity within my heart and life, when I'm willing to give just simply to give, I am more like my Father in heaven than ever before. Let's stand together. Will you please? I want to talk to you about a story, and his name is Zacchaeus. All right? All right, here we go. Jesus, he entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region. Now check out the next statement. And he had become what? Very rich. All right? All right, very rich. So at times, crime does prosper. All right. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was, because Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. And so he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead of the crowd, climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. There you go. And and for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he said to him, you come. Oh, wait a minute. I need to read the scripture, not sing the song. Jesus came by. He looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. I like that. It wasn't just, hey, you. You ever gone to meet a friend or you met somebody you know you should know and they come up to you and go, hi, Amber, how are you? And you're going, great, but I can't remember who you are. Happened to me just the other day. So I ran home, showed Myrna a picture of somebody. I said, who is that? Figured it out. But he called Zacchaeus by name. He wasn't just somebody. He was somebody special to Jesus. And he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house. Check it out. In what? Great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. Okay, now here comes the church folk. He has gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, now, there's a lot of things that happen between verse 7 and 8, all right? And we don't get it all, but he said, meanwhile, back at the house, Zacchaeus stood before Jesus and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor. Okay, so now how much does he have left? He has half. Great mathematicians today. Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, yeah, right. You know he had. I will give them back, what? Four times as much. Jesus responded to what Zacchaeus said. Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who were lost. Heavenly Father, this is your word, not ours. Lord, just get us out of the way. Let the message of your Holy Spirit fall upon this place right now. Not our message, not what we think needs to be said or understood, but what you would do in thy name. Amen. You may be seated. It's a great story, isn't it? Little Zacchaeus. Incredible thing happened to him that day. He met Jesus. He came down out of the tree. Jesus went to his house. The church wasn't happy because why? Because Jesus wasn't hanging out with the church people. He was hanging out with people who were messed up. Church, that's a really good example to follow. Now, this isn't in my notes, so this must be from the Holy Spirit. Church, too often, we think this is what it is to be a Christian. It's not. The church gathered is to celebrate, is to thank God, is to worship Him, and then empowered by His Holy Spirit to go out into the world and invade the darkness with the light of Christ. That's who we are as the church. So Jesus wanted to show us that example. So he went, he got the most notorious dude in town and said, I'm going to your house today. Amazing. And when he went there, obviously there was conversation between him and Zacchaeus. I don't know exactly what it was. When I get to heaven, we'll find out. But I want to draw your attention to a couple of statements that Zacchaeus made to Jesus that day. The first statement he made was, I will give half of my money to the poor. I will give half of my money to the poor. The second statement he made was, if I have wronged anyone, if I have stolen from anyone, which he knew he had. Isn't it interesting how he asked the question? He said, well, if I have. Jesus probably just winked at him. He said, I'll give them back four times. Check it out. If you got a return from the IRS last year for $1,000, Zacchaeus was saying, hey, I'll give you back four times that. Two statements he made. I'll give half of my wealth to the poor, and I will pay back those that I have taken wrongfully from four times as much as I took.